Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or if you're like us living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast Pride Extravaganza. My name is Jamie, and I'm your host. And what is the Pride Extravaganza? I'll tell you. All month long, the month of June, Pride Month, we are pushing out double the episodes of Queer Family Goodness for you. What does that mean? That means that not only are you getting a beautiful episode on Mondays of every week, you are also getting an episode on Thursday of every week. So every Monday and every Thursday, check your podcast apps or come over here to YouTube to watch it, because you can listen at or watch the Queer Family Podcast both of those days every week throughout the month of June. And the lineup I have of the people who are coming in, I said this last time, but I could have named this episode the Change Makers, because every single person is using their platform to be visible, to normalize our families and our lives. And I am so grateful to them, and I am so excited to share them all. And this today's episode right now, I cannot wait to share the interview with you. Jose Rolon, aka NYC Gay Dad. He is everywhere. He's on the TV, and he documents his life with his three children for all of us to see, and it's so fun, and I love him. And the interview with him was just so beautiful and heartwarming, and he talks about his journey to becoming a single gay dad through surrogacy. And there is a little bit of heartbreak that happens. There is some tragedy that happens. It all turns out okay. It's a beautiful story in the end. And I can't wait for you to hear it. But before you do, before you do. And it's going to give you all the feels. It really is. Get ready. Get your tissues out. It's one of those. But before I roll that tape, I got to let you know a couple things. If you're watching the episode on YouTube, because you can watch all of our episodes now on our YouTube channel, The Queer Family Podcast on YouTube, you would see that I am all prided up in attire. I got my gay bandana around my neck. I sure do. I have my We Say Gay shirt that we sell in our merchandise store at tpublic.com at the Queer Family Podcast. We have various, all kinds of designs in our merchandise store, and you can put them on any product in the store. There are mugs, t-shirts, tank tops, you name it. It's there. Stickers. I don't know. It's all there. So go there, check out the designs, pick one that you like, and go represent for Pride. It is Pride Month, baby. Let's show up and show out. I am not even messing around. I'm so excited. Pride is my favorite time of year. It really is. I absolutely love it. And all I do with my kids as we walk down the streets the month of June in New York City is look for rainbows. That's what we do. Where's the rainbows? Let's see how many rainbows we can spot today. And it's their favorite thing to do. They love looking for rainbows. So it's a special month. It's a special month for my family, and it should be a special month for every family. And I'm hoping that little shows like this and all the guests who are doing what they're doing are going to help make that an actuality. Let's make Pride a special day for everybody. Let's do that. But also, if you do like the show and you want to help out, you can join my Patreon. I have various tiers in my Patreon community that starts at just $2 a month. And on Patreon, you're going to get the video episode dropped a full day early so you can be in the know before everybody else so you don't get FOMO. You give everybody else FOMO. And also other bonus content like behind-the-scenes shenanigans of me trying to get my life together with my kids and my wife and anything else I can think to put up there. So go over there, find a tier that works for you, and join. And I'd love to see you in that community. And make sure you're following on all the socials. We are the Queer Family Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. And over at YouTube is where you're going to get the video episodes and some other stuff too. So make sure you're doing all the stuff, please. You could also buy my book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family, which is based on this here little podcast, anywhere you buy books. So go do that too. Just do all the things. I know I ask you to do all the things all the time, but I'm really serious. That's Pride. Support some queers. Why not? Even if you're a queer yourself. And then also like rate and review it and subscribe everywhere, like on every platform. Just do all the things. Would ya? Would ya please? I'm just kidding. Go buy some merch though, for real. I'm just kidding. Okay, let's get to Jose. He's my new best friend who doesn't know it, but I am going to his house for dinner. I've decided I'm just going to show up with my wife and kids, and our kids are going to be BFFs, and we're going to hit it off, and then we're going to go on cruises together. This is happening. Jose, are you listening? Are you listening? All right, let's roll the tape. You're going to get your tissues because you're going to have feelings here, but it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Okay, Helen and Beulah, my fake assistants who I love but don't exist. Please roll that tape. What's wrong with me? Something's wrong with me. Enjoy. Enjoy.
Queer Family Podcast.
Hi, Jose.
Hello, hello.
I have Jose Rolón here. I like saying your name.
I love you saying my name. Do you know how many people get that wrong?
Really? Well, I just follow the accent. I follow the accents.
Ay, ay, ay. That, to me, that's like beautiful. It's not Jose Rolón. Jose Rolón.
Oh, Rolón. No, Rolón. It's a beautiful name. People need to say it right. Listen, if you listeners at home do not know Jose, you're living under a rock. Jose is NYC gay dad on all the social media. And Jose is famous. Jose is gay famous and also just super famous. And I am so happy and excited to meet you because I follow you and I watch your children all the time and I laugh with you. Yeah, I absolutely adore you. But so just in case there are any listeners or watchers who don't know who you are, Jose, can you give us your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Family Podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to start you. Wait, don't start. I have to say on your mark, get set, go, because it doesn't count if I don't do that. I need to put a little pressure. I need to put a little fire under your butt. Okay.
I'm into it.
On your mark, get set, go.
I am Jose Rolon. I'm a New York City wedding planner. I live in Brooklyn Heights with my children, and I am a host of a show called Wedding Talk with Tara Lipinski. And during the pandemic, came through and became a content influencer with all my kids. And we've been all over the map, from Ellen, Games of Games, Good Morning America, The Today Show, all the things. And so, yeah, here we are, rocking and rolling.
That was beautifully. I didn't think you were going to get it all in. Actually, I'm sorry, but I really didn't. So that was beautifully done. You're a rock star. You're a professional. And you really have been on everything.
It's crazy. I don't even know what to do with all of it. It's been awesome, though.
And your children are so gorgeous. And so like, I've been following you. I know who you are. I don't know the story of how your family was made. And so that's why I'm really excited to have you on my show, because that's what we talk about here, how we made our queer families.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a story. There's always a story.
We all have them, don't we?
Yes, we really do, because we got to get real creative when it comes to making babies.
Oh my gosh. No joke. And you got to get hella rich to make babies.
especially if you're somebody who contains sperm in your body. Like, we have it a little easier.
You do. Yeah,
because sperm is not as expensive as a womb. You know what I mean?
Sperm is not as expensive. It's definitely, we are far more expendable than anybody else. So I was married to my husband, Tim, and we decided to start a family. You know, I got married in 2010, and then we decided to do surrogacy. Now, initially, we had the idea that, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to adopt, or are we going to do surrogacy? And I was really fortunate to be with Tim, who definitely did well for himself financially. And so for me, the option was clear to do surrogacy, because Tim had 5 brothers and sisters, parents still around. I, on the other hand, no brothers and sisters, and had and my parents passed many, many years ago. And so I thought, you know, in my mind, I kind of thought, like, the buck stops with me. But now there's this possibility that doesn't have to be the case. And so we decided to do surrogacy, and then we found this incredible, so we got an egg donor, a Brazilian egg donor, because we have this love for Brazil and their people and the way that they love, live, and celebrate all things. And then we got a surrogate, and she was fantastic. So what we did was we decided to put one of each. So we got the eggs all healthy, and then one egg had Tim's sperm and one had my own, and we put both of them in.
We're going to need to go in a little bit more in depth, because we like to really, like, delve into every little decision on this.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I completely understand your wanting to do surrogacy to have, like, a genetic tie to the kids. Yeah. And that's like, that's like a big question that we first have to answer as queer folks trying to make babies. Like, all right, how much do I care about this genetic tie? And I love that you shared that. And I think that's super important. And, like, you know, no judgment for whatever path you choose. And we all come to it for our own reasons. And I love that reasoning behind it. And so let's delve into this, finding the egg donor first. Because that's a whole thing. I call that the search for Superman when we're talking about sperm donors.
Yeah.
But we can get pretty crazy when it comes to our donors, right?
We can. Look, I think that, you know, we had gone through Circle Surrogacy out in Boston. And we know that different companies have their own pool of egg donors. And we were having a lot of trouble nailing it down. We were just overwhelmed by the so many options that were out there. And so we actually hired an egg donor concierge, right? And so that's, I actually think that was the name of her business. And after meeting with us, she, you know, it was a whole, like, Q&A, getting to know us, what are our likes, our dislikes. And a lot of it was we preferred for her to be of Latin descent.
Are you both of Latin descent?
No, he was a good old farm boy who grew up on a dairy farm with 3,000 cows, 2,000 acres, you know, and then my family's from Puerto Rico. So I knew that I wanted some of that Latin flavor in there. And so
I don't blame you.
Thank you. And so what happened is the egg donor came back with 25 options. and
the concierge,
the egg donor concierge. Yeah. So she came back with 25 options. So what we did is we printed out two copies of the 25 options. And Tim and I decided that we were going to separate into two different rooms and we were going to come back with our top 10.
And okay, this is fun. This is fun.
Yeah, it's totally fun, right? And so I swear on my children, out of the 25, Tim and I came back with the exact same 10.
There was not
one of the 10 that was not part of his 10. His 10 were my 10. So some were out of order. Now, our egg donor that we chose was his number one and my number three.
Interesting.
And I know. I'll never forget this. I mean, it's been years and I still remember it. Now, the reason she was my number three is because she was my complexion. And I would have preferred someone that was a little bit lighter, in thinking that if it's my sperm that ends up winning, then there would be some resemblance of Tim. I didn't want, I wanted to feel like possibly it resembled both of us, right? So I was trying to find somebody light-skinned Latin that had maybe some of Tim's features. And so that's why his number one was my number three. But we ended up interviewing our top three, and it was clear that the one that we chose was the one that we chose. And I think what happened there is that, she had this great energy. She laughed. She said she loved to dance. And you could just sense from her there's just no BS, because she was quite unfiltered, not in a bad way, but she wasn't polished. And I love that. Like, I, don't give me polish. I don't want to get the script. I just really, really want to get to know you. And so she ended up being fantastic. And so what she doesn't know is that we ended up stalking her. So this is what happened.
Of course you did. If you have the ability, of course you're going to. Like with sperm donors, we don't get the interview. You know what I mean? So you just have to go on a wing and a prayer that they're like telling somewhat of the truth, but you have the ability to stalk her. So tell me.
So initially when we first got her application, it was going to be an open deal, right? But by the time we chose her and it got to her, she had made the decision to close it out, because since she started with the agency and we found her, she had gotten married and had a baby. And we know that that's very common, that once usually if an egg donor chooses to have a family, they have this sense of wanting to protect their family. And more so, she had expressed that a lot of it was her husband not wanting to feel like his wife has got kids out there. And so we respected that. And so we renegotiated the contract that, if she ever wants to get a hold of us, she absolutely can. And if she came down with any sort of terminal illness, things that we need to be aware of, then she would need to let us know. And so that's where we landed. So knowing that it was closed, then I was like, well, let's just stalk this situation and see what we can find. And because she's Brazilian, from the state that she was from, it was her first name that was rare. And so I was like, there could be only so many of these in that state. And so now we know her first and last name. But as every person that wants to be private should, everything was private with the exception of the friends that she follows. So went to the friends that she follows and she ends up following her sister, who has nothing private. And so we end up going to her sister's profile. And on her sister's profile is where we really got to see the egg donor that we chose, right? She was full of life. Her sister was visiting from Brazil. And so we got to see their whole adventure together while they were visiting. There was like one shot of, our egg donor just jumping up and down in the air with freeze frame. And there was another one where she was bawling her eyes out because she was saying bye to her sister at the airport. Like, there was so much about these posts that made it so clear that she was the one. And so, And every now and then I'll still do a little stalking. And
you still stalk her.
I still stalk her, and she is still living her best life.
She's still doing the thing. And so, switching from the open to the closed, did you have any reservations about it? Like, were you worried about that in any way?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I think that I'm, as people know at this point, I'm very open with all things, most things personal. And so, it was a little hurtful on my end that she didn't want to be open, but What I did is put myself in her shoes and put myself in her husband's shoes, and I would feel the exact same way, to be honest. So that's right. What I had to come to the, you know, that was the conclusion I came to. I know that I wasn't willing to sacrifice the incredible woman that I think she is for the sake of having an open relationship. And also, with fingers crossed, hoping that she'll want to connect with us at some point.
Right, right. And you never know. And also, like, when you choose that donor, that's the one you want. Like, it's like you found the person, and it's so hard to like switch gears once it's done, once the decision is made. I totally get it.
Yeah.
I totally get it. And now, did you both always know, like from the moment you decided, okay, we're going to do surrogacy, did you both always know that you were going to pool the sperm?
No.
And do it that way?
No, that's such okay. A great question. So initially, Tim had a lot of fears around putting in his DNA in, because he felt that his family was very like quiet, you know, again, a bunch of farmers, they don't talk about their feelings, and he didn't have confidence in his DNA,
right?
And so what happened when we were in that process, I think he got excited and didn't want to feel left out. And I remember having that feeling of like, wait a minute, like what happens if you win? Like, you know, I felt like this was my one shot, because we were very clear we were only going to have one kid. And so I thought, this is my one shot.
Right.
And when he decided to get into the mix, I had a little feelings around that. But ultimately, I thought it was fair.
I totally relate, Jose, because when I first got with my wife, like it was always going to be me. I was always going to be the one. And genetics really mattered to me, and they didn't seem to matter as much to her. And then right after we got married, she dropped the bomb. She was like, you know what? I think I want to do it too. And I was like,
oh yeah,
that's, and I had all these feelings like, well, then if that means we're having two kids, because I'm doing it too, you know, like,
oh my gosh.
We get crazy. We get crazy.
It's true. And to be honest, and I've been very open about this as well, is that when Avery was born, it was very clear when this white boy came out that he was not biologically mine. And I kind of went into my own feelings about it. And I felt down, and I had moments of feeling depressed about it, because at that point, again, we were only going to have one. And I'm like, this was my one shot. And the whole thing around feeling, you know, not having my parents, not having siblings, I lost that opportunity. And this went on for about a month. And
that, I mean, that non-bio struggle is real for many folks. This is a real thing that we go through.
It's a real thing. And I don't think a lot of people talk about it for fear of being judged. But the reality is that, you know, I had one call with my friend Katie. She lives out in Boston, and her partner, Angie, had, and I have her permission to share this story, they struggled with the same thing, because Katie carried the first child. And then when they tried to have Angie carry the second child, they realized there'd be some complications around it. And so Angie had a lot of feelings around not having her own biological child. She said, Jose, just wait. I promise you, it's really not going to matter. You're going to have a moment. Maybe it's not going to be a aha moment, but you're going to see that it's not going to matter. And although I did find that conversation helpful, I wasn't convinced. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget the day that it was probably a couple months in. We were in our home in Beacon. We had a second place in Beacon at the time. And Avery was upstairs, and it was just me and him. And, you know, the light was coming in. I'm getting emotional. And the light was coming in.
Me
and,
too.
And I was changing him, and it was just the way he looked up at me. And the way that he looked up at me, it was like, I need you. Like, you are my person, and I need you. And that's what I felt from his look. And I lost it. And from that moment on, that was the moment where it no longer mattered. And for reasons we'll get into, some may even argue to this day that him and I have the strongest bond. And out of the three, he's the one that's not biologically mine. And so,
amazing.
Yeah. And so I think that ended up just really, something showed up for me that day. And it's something that I will always carry with me moving forward.
I absolutely love that. Thank you for sharing that, because this is, you know, I get folks writing into me all the time. Can you tell more non-bio stories? I'm really struggling with this. Can you talk more, you know, and I struggled myself. And so I try to always, you know, ask folks like, how do you feel about the having a logical connection? And so that's beautiful. Yes, that's going to help people. That's going to help a lot of people, because it's true. It's really true. Like, you might not have the aha moment, like you said, but in the end, it doesn't matter. Before we get into the next, because I know there's more than one kid. I know this already, and all of us know this. But let's talk about the surrogate, right? Because that's a whole nother component to your y'all's story, of course. So you get the egg donor. You know what you're doing there. You get a bunch of eggs, enough to make you know, an army of children, I'm sure, because she probably had like beautifully formed, gorgeous eggs.
47 eggs, to be exact.
I wasn't thinking that much.
47, which, by the way, is my lucky number. Has always been my lucky number. Yeah, that number shows up everywhere. But yeah, 47 eggs. We fertilized 10 with Tim's and then 10 with mine.
Holy moly. Dang. Yeah. Dang.
Yeah. Dang is right.
Wow. Y'all did good. She did good.
She did good.
It must be that Brazilian water or something. I don't,
Brazilian
fire.
Water, being in your 20s. I don't know.
Yeah, it's no probably complaints. That. It's probably that's what it is. But okay. All right. So then you get your eggs, you have your cachet of eggs. How do we find this surrogate?
Well, I think for there, that's where we leaned on circle surrogacy, right? I think that's the beauty of why I think it's so important for all couples that choose surrogacy is to make sure they're choosing the right agency. And, you know, the more that they have built in, the better, right? So within there, they had their own lawyers and that would represent us as well. And they had, I forgot what they called them at the time, but, you know, different, their own version of concierge people that, you know, are kind of hitting different parts. Mm-hmm. And so we really relied on them to pick a surrogate. And so we actually ended up getting one surrogate that did not work out. So she was out in Kansas. What ended up happening is the only thing we didn't like about her being in Kansas is that it was a 5-hour flight to Kansas and then a 5-hour drive to where she was. But we liked her a lot and we were willing to go for it. Now, even when they do all the screening before you become accepted as a surrogate, they go back and they do more blood work and they also end up testing your partner, whether that be your husband, your wife, your partner. Mm-hmm. And he ended up coming down with, oh gosh, I don't know if it's lupus or Lyme disease, but it was one of those.
Either way, both of them suck.
She didn't have it, but he had it, which meant that it put her in a position having to potentially take care of him and perhaps her not being where she needs to be both physically and mentally. So we ended up losing her as a surrogate. But that was the blessing in disguise because the surrogate we ended up finding was in Valdosta, Georgia, which is only maybe a 2.5-hour flight. And it was like a 20-minute ride. And she ended up being fantastic on every level. Her husband was in the military, who was super supportive. You know, he would always joke that he was excited to have his wife walk around with him in the military base with her pregnant to say that it's not his baby. You know, like it was just such a great family. They had two boys and she loved being pregnant. And so she was down and she was game.
I love it. Every surrogate story, every journey to finding a surrogate is just like so magical. And I feel like they're like unicorn people. Like they're just like, they're like sent from heaven, these surrogates.
They really are.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, she was really, really fantastic. And so, you know, she gave birth to Avery and it was like natural. Let's start there. Oof. Like nothing, oof. Like absolutely nothing. It was her request. That's what she wanted.
Had a girl.
She didn't have an opportunity to do that with her first two. And so it would always been a thing for her. And so she accomplished that with Avery. And I really appreciated that. Now, one thing I didn't mention is when Tim and I first met, he was very clear that he never wanted children. he felt he was too old, too selfish. He loved to travel. And then ultimately, his big reason, which sort of came to head in a fight that we had when we were sort of talking about it, the last time before making that decision is he said, look, the truth is I don't want to share you with anybody. And that's why I don't want us to have kids. And that was a really powerful statement. And it was the last time I ever gave him any trouble with it because the other thing with that is I also know the man that I married, right? So why am I giving him a hard time when I was willing to sacrifice being a father because I thought this man was that amazing? And so I stopped giving him a hard time. And then he came around a couple years after we were married, hadn't spoke about it in a couple of years. So let's fast forward. Avery is here and Tim is an incredible father, like even like more incredible than I was at that time, because for me, being a father has always been a thing I knew I wanted to be. So it sort of felt natural for me to be a parent, where for him, his mind was just blown and all of his senses were heightened and he realized how much he loved it. And so at 2 months old, he comes out of the bedroom and he has Avery in his arms and he's like, babe, you know what I'm thinking? And I'm like, pizza or Chinese? Like, what are we having for dinner? And he's like, no, I think we should have another kid. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I was like, what? That's insane. And we did. We went for it again. And our surrogate agreed that she wanted to come back on board. And she did.
Holy shit.
Yep. Now, this time you were very clear that Tim was not going to participate this time. Back out, like, back out, kid. Like, it's my turn. And the day came where we got to find out whether we were going to have one kid or two. Well, we contracted to only put in one because we were very clear that we were going to have more than two kids. And no matter, really no matter the risk at that point. And so that day, the doctor came in with his number two person with a cart and he goes, all right, I've got them. And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean them? We only contracted for one. And he said, well, I unfroze your stuff this morning and we all saw that it wasn't in good condition. And so I was like, well, you need to check that because my stuff is prime. Like, there's nothing wrong with my stuff. And he's like, gave a little chuckle and he's like, I wish that were true. But the truth is, if you only put in one, there's a 15% chance of getting pregnant. And so my next question to him is, what are the chances of getting pregnant with twins if we put in two? And he looked at his number two. His number two looked back at him and he looked at me, put his hands up and went, nil. There's no chance.
Oh.
Yes. So
that's not the right answer.
Yeah, I think we all know how that turned out. And so I think the big thing around this story, that parts of it I think your listeners and yourself may not be fully aware of, is that we found out at the 10-week mark that we were pregnant with twins. And then at 11 weeks pregnant, Tim went away on a business trip. And I got a call while I was at a Christmas wedding event. So if you could sort of imagine this juxtaposition of, you know, hot cocoa station, hanging candy canes on the Christmas tree, Mariah Carey's playing in the background, everybody's happy, and they're filming this whole festive video for people in the wedding industry. And I get this phone call to call the Philadelphia Police Department. And I knew something was wrong because I hadn't heard from Tim all day and I was leaving him a lot of messages. And the last one was a threatening message telling him, this isn't funny. I don't know what's going on. I have abandonment issues, right? I lost my parents many years ago. And so he had done that once. And what happened is he woke up hungover and he ended up rushing to do a presentation in a place where there wasn't any reception. And so he called me and apologized and I was freaking out. And I said, don't ever do that again. So when this happened on that day, I knew something was wrong because Tim's integrity was really strong. And when he said something, he meant it and always followed through. And so I got a hold of the detective and the detective said to me, Jose, what is your relation to Timothy Merrill? And I said, he's my husband. And he said, well, I'm sorry to say that he passed away last night. And yeah, I had a feeling you didn't know.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. And so, they said that he had a heart attack in his sleep on a business trip and that, you know, it looked like he didn't feel it because they said he had both of his hands still tucked under his cheeks and it almost looked like he was still smiling. And we had spoken the night before and he wanted to say goodnight to Avery and I allowed him to do that despite me not wanting to like make a lot of noise and you know, it was this beautiful 36-minute conversation that I had with them the night before. And I remember getting off thinking, oh my God, that was so beautiful. And yeah, and that was the last time we spoke. And
oh my God, Jose, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And so on top of, you know, getting this news of, you know, losing this beautiful human being that you started a life with, it sort of hits you very quickly that, wait, we're also pregnant with two kids on the way. And it was at the 11-week mark, which in Georgia, once 12 weeks hit, you can't make that decision anymore. Mm-mm. And for me, I was very clear that I was going to abort because I thought, you know, who am I to raise three kids on my own? There's no way that I can do that, both financially and mentally. And, you know, I was just really out of my brain in those days. And then it was the sixth day, and it happened to be the day of Tim's funeral service. And I remember waking up and it was dark outside. And I remember sitting at the edge of the bed and looking out the window and thinking, like, you know, my son just lost his father. And I thought, you know, what if something were to happen to me? And, you know, with my own abandonment issues, I thought I did not ever want Avery to experience that. I didn't want to leave him alone in this world. And so not only did I decide to follow through the pregnancy that day, but I announced we were pregnant while giving my husband's eulogy at the church. And so nobody knew we were pregnant.
Wow.
Well, you're going to make me cry.
I'm crying. I'm sorry. And also, like, God, what a story, you know? Like,
yeah. I think for me in that moment, it really made sense, right? Like, one thing you learn is you don't take things for granted and you put whatever you can out to the universe. And for me, it made sense in front of this church of 300-400 people, in front of God, in front of, you know, your support systems. Like, this is the time to ask for help. This is the time to receive as much as you can receive. And, you know, I will say that it was probably a year and a half before I started. I didn't have to kick people out of the house. People were just always in the house. So there was like four of us. And then there was, I didn't cook for months. It was just a really beautiful community of people that really, really came together. And I say this all the time, which is, you know, in some ways I always felt like I had a bigger support system than most two-parent households, because I think that people always assume that two-parent households got it, even though they don't. It's a shit show no matter which way you slice it. I think women in particular, society places so much pressure on them to be able to have it, to be able to get it. And so I think what happens there is that women are always afraid to ask for help because they're afraid to be judged and afraid to be seen less than. And with me, with not having motherly instinct, and with me certainly mourning, and with me being a dude, I didn't give a shit. Whenever anybody offered help, I never said no. And, you know, that's something that, you know, when I travel the country to speak on the grieving, you know, my big message to women is, you know, whenever anybody asks you if you need anything, you know, pull out that to-do list from your pocket and hand it to them with a smile and say thank you. Because the burnout, as we know, as parents, it's real and we will burn out. It's just mitigating. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, making sure that those gaps are smaller between the burnouts, right? And so I feel like my burnouts were very far few in between as a result of me saying yes to everything. And so that's something I always tell single parents, moms, two-parent households, even if you have a nanny, even if you have seven nannies, somebody asks you if you need anything, just come up with something. Take it. Yeah.
Take it. Yeah. And community lifts you up, right? And your community, like, rally. Yeah. Like, it's chosen family. It's chosen family. It is what our community is really good at, that chosen family, but take the help. That's the message here. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And now you're a single dad with three babies.
Yes. Here we are 10 years later. It's wild.
Wow. Okay. That is what a wonderful, beautiful story. And I did, you blindsided me. I didn't know. And you knew I didn't know. I love that. No, thank you. And okay, so now they're 10 and 8.
Yeah, so the girls will be 9 in a few weeks.
My oldest is 9, so the same age, same age.
Same age, yeah.
And yeah, and I stalk you on Instagram, so I know that your kids are very involved in the videos, and yes. I absolutely adore them, and I adore your family, and I think you're doing so many things right. And
oh my gosh,
I love you for being so visible and honest and open and showing the world how amazing a gay dad can be and how awesome the kids can be that are raised in a family like yours. So I thank you for just the work you're doing because it means so much, you know?
That is incredibly generous, and I'm learning to receive, so I will take that and say thank you.
I love it. And what my favorite video that I watched was when you came out as straight, like you fake came out as straight to them. Oh my God. I thought, I was like, oh my God, wait, is he really straight? At first I was confused. And then, but sure. The things they said, the kids came, I don't know who writes the stuff, but the things they, wait, what do you mean? So that means no. And I don't remember any of the things, but they were so funny.
Yeah, you know, I try to match them where they are. And so, you know, whenever we're coming up with stuff, and sometimes you come up with it together. And yeah, like what would London be frustrated with if I were to come out to her as straight? Well, for her, it'd be around fashion. And it'd be around like, what do you mean? What happened? All these wigs, like everything was a lie. And, you know, and then for Lila, it's more about like, the heart and the relationship. Like, what does this mean? We have to have a woman in here now? Like, you know, and for Avery, it comes to sports. Like, he's actually excited because he thinks I might actually play sports now and can throw a real ball. So yeah. And excited that I'll be drinking Heineken versus like, you know, rosé. Right. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun with that one. That was a lot of
that fun. One is a good one. So if you don't follow Jose, you need to go over to NYC Gay Dad and follow Jose. Before I get all the ways people can follow you and keep track of you, I have to know like what's happening in your romance world. Do you have what's going on? What's going on for the future, Jose Rolón?
I am excited to talk about this. So I am with this incredible human being. His name is Thomas. And we connected 3 years ago, March 2020, when the pandemic hit. And for obvious reasons, we just like veered off and disconnected. And we were sort of going through our own thing at that time. And we matched again on Hinge on Christmas Day. I mean, I could definitely get emotional talking about him because aww. He is everything and any, like, he's just everything and more that I could ever ask for. He is an education, you know, he has a really big heart. He's smart. He's thoughtful. He's selfless, which is wild. I think the part that is the bonus of everything is that when you're a single parent and you're dating, there's going to be plenty of people you connect with. There's going to be, you're going to find people that you have chemistry with. But what happens when they meet your children, right? I had one. Him and I, we connected. Everything was like going really, really well. And he met my kids and he was a deer caught in headlights. And there's different versions of those stories throughout the last 10 years. And so this one just fell into place so perfectly. Like the second he met my kids were intrigued and they were asking him questions. And he was answering them effortlessly. And what's really funny is like him and I, Thomas and I got really close pretty quickly. And him and I aren't two people that do things quickly in relationships. Me in part because of my kids and him, that's just the way he's always operated with most of the people he's been with. And so it felt really different with us. And so I think when he met my kids, I wanted him to meet them sooner than later because I'm like, this feels so good. I need to know as soon as possible if he really can truly be down with kids. And he's a teacher. He's an education, right? And so in my mind, teachers can fall in two categories. They can you know, they can still love kids after work, or it's the last thing they want to see after work.
Right. Totally.
And right. It's not how he operates. And when I was ready to ask my kids if he can be my boyfriend, Lila, who's all heart, was like, oh my God, yes, excited. And Avery was like, you know, like that, you know, pretty chill about it. He's like, yeah, he's cool. I like him. Why not? And then London was like, don't you think it's a little soon? She's like, I don't know. I need to think about this. And like, no joke, my kids were campaigning, like Avery and London were campaigning for like over a week with London to convince her on why Thomas is great. And fast forward, it's really interesting. London at the moment is the one that is like closest to him. Like, she's always grabbing his hand. She's always running for him, jumping on him. And, you know, they have really beautiful conversations together. And Thomas is just a perfect fit in this family. And we're both very clear about, you know, what we want our future to be like. And so, you know, we're definitely in it for the long haul. And that's what we're looking forward to.
I love that. Oh my God, yeah. I'm so excited.
I love
for
it
you.
Too. I'm excited too. Can't wait. Can't wait to keep doing things.
I know. Yeah. Oh my God, this has been just so amazing. I am really so happy that I actually just got to meet you in person, because I do love you so much. And I'm not just a stalker. Now I'm coming over for dinner. I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh, you can come on. I'm not kidding. You can come over anytime.
Now that I have a dinner party, and
Thomas loves to cook, so even better. Like, you know, I feel like things are a little bit more manageable around here.
All right, we're coming over. Bring my two kids. I got a 5-year-old. Good luck. I mean, you know how it goes. But tell everybody at home where they can find you and all the stuff.
Yeah, so I'm NYC Gay Dad across the board on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and on my wedding planning business, I'm Jose Rolon Events across the board. And we will be filming season 2 of Wedding Talk, hopefully this summer, to launch in October. And so we're really excited for season 2. And there are some other really amazing opportunities ahead that I can't share quite yet, but keep looking out for some really fun news.
Yes, keep watching. Keep watching Jose, because Jose's going places and I'm very excited for you. And I have one more final question that I'm asking all my guests who are involved in the Queer Family Pride Extravaganza.
Yeah.
It is. And it's kind of a loaded question. I'm sorry to just throw it on you at the last second, but take your time if you need to. The question is, what does pride mean to you?
Ooh.
I know it's loaded. I know it's a tough
one. That is loaded. But look, I think pride to me definitely means being open to receiving and accepting love from all walks of life. I think that right now we're in a place where there's a lot of division, and I don't believe that we should be one extreme or the other. I do think that there are people in our community that operate on a very extreme way, but that's not really the way to get the message across. And so I think we just really need to be more open to listening and a lot less talking and more listening. And so for me, pride comes with all that. You want to be prideful of how you're showing up in the world, so that hopefully you can attract the same thing that, you know, you want. And, you know, and I think that right now we're in a place where I think a lot of people are really frustrated right now. But if we look at history, I think we are definitely going to be back on the upswing, you know, over the next 5 years. And that is my hope. But I do think that pride is for everybody. We just have to open up those minds a little bit more.
I love that. Pride is for everybody. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I love that. Yes. Thank you. And thank you so much for joining this. I couldn't be more thrilled. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning into the Queer Family Podcast. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. And if you did enjoy what you heard, feel free to subscribe, rate, and review us anywhere you get your podcasts or watch your podcasts. All those things make a huge difference in getting this show out to an even bigger and wider audience. And in the name of visibility and inclusion, that's the goal here. So let's share this far and wide, folks. Let's normalize our families. That's the whole point of this. And if you really like what you hear and what you see, feel free to join me on Patreon. I have various tiers in my Patreon community that start at just $2 a month. That's less than a cup of coffee. Come on, at least in the city of New York City, it is. You're going to get bonus content over there. You're going to get video episodes dropped a day early. And even more crazy shenanigans of yours truly just trying to get her life together. And I'll tell you what, it's a monumental effort. I'm not going to lie. But you have to go to Patreon to see it. And also make sure to get that merchandise. It's time to represent. It's Pride, y'all. And then every day is Pride, as we know. So you're going to go to tpublic.com/the Queer Family Podcast and get your merchandise. Like, wouldn't you want a little Queer Family Podcast mug to drink your morning coffee or tea in? Who wouldn't, right? Who wouldn't? Go get that. And make sure you're following on all the socials. We are the Queer Family Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, where you're going to get the video episodes. And they're so fun. And I'm literally looking at you right now and talking, which is kind of very fun for me. This is fun, being on video. Except for the fact that I feel like I have to try to look nice for y'all now, which I never did before, but you don't need to know any of that. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Keep on tuning in. Watch the next one if you're on YouTube, or listen to the next. Just keep on doing it and share it far and wide. I love you. Mwah. I'm going to get out of your ears right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tune in again and again. I'll see you soon.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.